Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class. The Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class. We have been out for the summer break, if you will, for the first time ever. And I'm getting older now. In fact, it is my physical birthday today. I went to my two doctors this past week by the grace of God, and they gave me a 100% bill of health. And I'm as healthy as a 59-year-old could be. And I thank God for that. But I am getting older, and I have to listen to the Lord, even though my spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, and that's the case for all of us. And sometimes you need to rest a while, as Jesus commanded his disciples to do, and come apart a while before we come apart physically. For one of the most demanding jobs in the world, believe me when I tell you this, for true preachers is preaching the gospel, preaching the word. And the reason for that is because the devil is fighting you. You have an unseen enemy who is constantly fighting you while you preach, while you prepare to preach. And then he makes sure that you have enemies, even in your own family, and enemies from the outside. And the stress of it can take a toll. Most true preachers will tell you that preaching for 45 minutes is like working 8 hours a day. Most preachers need to go lay down and rest after they preach. Most preachers, even in the air conditioning, work up a serious sweat, and they hardly move from preaching. My name is Daniel White III. I'm the president of Gospel Light Society and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer International. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers especially everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives. And yes, in this day and time of pastors blowing their brains out, pastors committing suicide, leaving behind beautiful wives, beautiful children, wonderful congregations that love them, we need the Word of God, and we need to be encouraged in the faith. Our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians in this series, this long series, chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Others have been tempted, by the way, to commit suicide. I thank God I have never had that temptation. I have some other temptations, but not that. Thank God. I don't know what that even feels like. But it's just another temptation to sin against God. And to me, it's the ultimate sin to take your own life. And you should not do so. And I don't care what pastors, nice, sweet pastors, are saying about how that you can still go to heaven when you kill yourself and all of that. That is very dangerous. And I don't believe pastors ought to be saying that. Because they don't know. Don't listen to them. Oh, well, I'm going to heaven anyway when I die. Let me blow my brains out tonight. No. Let me take these pills. No. 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 Don't. That's the devil helping you through a pastor to kill yourself. Don't you listen to that devil. Don't you listen to these false prophets telling you that. I don't see how you can make it to heaven with self-murder when God commanded you to not murder anybody else. Thou shalt not kill. That includes yourself. So don't buy into this lie. It's okay to kill yourself. You're going to heaven. They don't know that. Have they killed themselves? They don't know. In fact, I would venture to say that if you kill yourself, you're not going to heaven if you attempted to do that. Because I don't understand how you can have the Prince of Life, the way, the truth, and the life in you, his name is Jesus Christ, and kill yourself when he gave you life times two. He created you and gave you life, and then he redeemed your soul from hell to give you eternal life. That's a whole lot of life to be killing yourself. So don't buy into this lie in evangelical circles and yield to that temptation. Yes, things are bad. Yes, times are bad. Yes, more people are killing themselves. It's just another temptation to damn your soul to hell. There's something wrong somewhere. Even in the little town that I live in, I took my daughters yesterday to a place, and we right across the highway, like it's some kind of festival going to happen, a big old sign about suicide awareness. We're going to have a march. We're going to have a walk. What? Anyway, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, yes, to keep you from killing yourself. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Ladies and gentlemen, our lesson today is titled How to Overcome Temptation, Part 121, and we're dealing with the temptation to be envious, to envy people, to be jealous of others in an envious way. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man. We're looking at what the Bible says about these sins so we can be aware of its dangers, and so that we can hide Scripture in our hearts to use when we are tempted. The sin that we are looking at today is the sin of envy. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations, 12 sins that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the seven deadly sins, or the cardinal sins. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. Today, we are looking at Proverbs 14:30. Remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at gospellighthouseofprayer.com and click the Onward Christian Soldiers banner on the homepage and begin to learn these verses by heart, as the old saints used to say, and hide them in your heart throughout the week. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. Do you have a sound heart today? A stable heart, a strong heart. Watch this. Here's the second half of the verse. But envy the rottenness of the bones. Nothing will destroy you on the inside like envy. Being envious of others. The other thing that would destroy you on the inside is bitterness and anger towards others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, God's truth judges created things out of love, and Satan's truth judges them out of envy and hatred. We saw on last time that we dealt with this subject, that allowing bad emotions to take over our hearts and minds can damage our physical health, such as envy is the rottenness of the bones. The rottenness of the inside of you. Similar to bitterness. Similar to the sin of bitterness. Similar to the sin of unforgiveness. Similar to the sin of anger. All of that will destroy you from the inside out. And there are people right now who are envious. Their spouses envious of their spouse. Siblings envious of their siblings. People on the job envious, stewing with envy over co-workers and their advancements, however they got the advancements. And especially in this day and time of social media, people are envious. It's gotten so bad. Some social media companies are telling people that they need to get off of social media for a little while. I know that Liberty University and Dr. Jerry Falwell Jr. have been in the news in a negative way this past week, but one good thing they're doing is teaching students not to live their lives based upon social media, because they can easily get caught up with envy. Weak-minded, unstable people who don't have sound hearts get envious of other people. Oftentimes because they're not doing anything themselves. They live their lives vicariously through other people. Millions of people live their lives through the Kardashians. Especially Kim. One lady wanted to be like Kim so much she spent thousands of dollars to try to look like Kim. She never will look like Kim. Because God made Kim Kim and not you. And I believe women suffer from this sin of envy more than men do. But there are some men even in the ministry who do. Why is God using him like that? Why can't God use me like that? Yes, there are preachers in the ministry who are envious. I believe with all of my heart some people are killing themselves because we have young ministers comparing themselves among themselves when the Bible says that is not wise. But many women envy them, envy others, other women, to the point they try to look like them and dress like them. One beautiful lady wore a beautiful dress to church one time, and the next weekend 25 or 26 other women had the same dress on, trying to look like that lady. Of course they didn't look like that lady, because that lady was beautiful and fine as wine in the dress, and some were heavy set, some were fat, some were too skinny to fill it out. and it was a fiasco. God does not want us to be envious of one another. We got women envious of other women. They go out, and I don't know how to do it. Don't ask me. They put implants into their behind parts. They go and get their breasts enlarged, trying to look like somebody else. Trying to hook men like others. Just remember, what you hook them with is what you're going to have to keep them with. And once they find out that you're fake, then they're going to be gone. So sad. So sad how people are so envious of one another to the point they waste thousands of dollars trying to be like other people. I call it silly mindedness. You don't have a sound mind. You don't have a sound heart. You're not stable. Listen to me. Do you understand that most people today, even in the church, are not stable? You know why they're not stable? Because they're not in God as they should be. They talk a good game with their mouths. God dealt with this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Most people in the church are hypocrites, phonies, and fakes today. Because if God had them and had to deal with them in the Old Testament and in the early church, they are surely around today who talk a good game. They talk about God and sing about God and raise their unholy hands about God. But they don't have him in their hearts, and they don't honor him in their hearts and in their private lives. Some right now might be even listening to me. They got a Bo Peep in the bed beside them that they're not married to. They have a Sylvia in the bed or on the couch getting ready to put in the bed that they're not married to right now. Listen to me well. There's a whole lot of fornication and adultery going on in the church today. And a lot of it is spawned by this sin of envy. Envious of another woman's husband. Envious and moved to the point to covet another man's wife. And we do whatever you can to try to get her or to get him. The devil is a lie, you hypocrite. The devil is a lie. And it's not going to work out. Do you know that no adultery and no fornication has ever worked out for the individuals involved? It always ends in a bad way. Everybody heard and saw the collective eye roll of colored women this past week when this beautiful young Tumblr girl, who somehow supposedly got hired to help a handsome, ripped man with his exercise program. And you can roll your eyes all you want to. But everybody saw and felt the collective roll eyes of colored women this past week. And some white women too. When they heard about this fiasco. You know what they said under their breath? This girl knew what was going on. That's why she didn't file a criminal charge. I assure you that the black football brother wanted her far more for something else than for helping him with his exercise program. Are you kidding me? And these women who do this, they don't fool me. And they don't fool these other women either. You haven't seen the Me Too crowd get behind her real quick. You know what? It's, oh, no. Girl, come on now. You don't know what's going on. Why would he hire you to do his exercise program, man, when he can pay some real exercise people who are in the football world? No. Now, he wanted more than exercise, and you knew it. Somebody needs to stop lying. The devil is a lie. Somebody ought to tell the truth and shame the devil. We need some colored women to go by and say, girl, leave it alone. Come on now. You're going to make yourself look silly here. He did this and that and you didn't know what was going on. No, you knew what was going on. He raped you 3 times. Girl, sister, what? That's not going to work for you real good. And so folks need to stop lying and tell the truth and shame the devil. We got folk even, and by the way, they're supposed to be Christians. They met in a Bible study. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. The devil is a lie and you know it. That's what the old sisters used to say. Stop playing. Stop being silly minded. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin is a bad boy, and sin does not play. That's what happened there. They wanted to do a little sin, both of them, and thought they could get away with it while claiming to be Christians. See, that's what happens. It never ends well. This is a big old mess. A big old mess. That was embarrassment and shame that did not have to happen for both of them. And by the way, it's not only shame on the man, shame on the woman as well. We got too many pastors with their wicked selves always taking the side of the woman. Oftentimes want the woman themselves. You lying devil. That's right, I call you a lying devil. You are Pennywise. Always want to be hard on the men, but we got, listen to me very carefully, I got some sisters who will back me up, some colored women who will back me up. That we got some Jezebels and some whores in the church sitting right there in Bible study will do anything to get somebody's man. All across this country. I hope to God is not in the other countries. Who plot and plan to get the pastor. Who group together at coffee shops. I tell you what, I can get them with this right here. I know I can get them. I saw him looking at me the other day. We so hard on the preachers who fall. We ought to be just as hard on the women who help them fall and do all kinds of ungodly things. Right there in the wife's house. Wipe their mouths and act like they have not done a thing. Oftentimes motivated and rooted in envy and jealousy. It never ends well though, dear friend. I don't care if you're white or black or red or yellow. It never ends well. And the only time it might end halfway decently, if you take advantage of the space to repent and jump out of that fire you're in. With God's help. So let's look at how the sin of an envious spirit contrasts with having a sound spirit, a godly spirit. I tell you, You go to church with many people who are not stable. They're not sound in their lives. They're not sound in their mind because they're not sound in doctrine. They're up and down. They're in and out. They're unstable. They halfway come around and do well for a day, but the next day they're down in the dumps. They're not stable because they're not in the Word of God. The word sound in the Old King James Version means in good condition. Amen, somebody. In good condition. Not damaged. Some of you who are sound, some of you who are stable, and you know you got people in your family, people who are in your small group, in your church, some who are in the ministry, they're not stable. They're not sound, man. And you need to pull them aside, get them out of the ministry, get them out of the position and say, look, until you get sound, until you get stable, because here you are talking to me about committing suicide and want to keep that private. No, no, no. You need to sit down somewhere and start praying and reading the Word of God. Not injured or diseased. Sound. Are you sound today, dear friend? If you're envious and jealous of other people, you're not sound, man. You don't have contentment. You're not self-contained by the grace of God, if you're. That's a RV word. You're not comfortable in your own skin. There's something wrong somewhere. And you need to sit down and become sound before you start trying to help others. Lest the demons jump on you. And that's what's wrong with some of y'all. You done had some devil, some Pennywise, Negroes, and put their hand on you. Talking about laying hands on you. And now you full of the devil. I'm not smiling. I'm not trying to make you laugh. I'm telling you the truth. You don't let Pennywise touch you, and you looking like and acting like Pennywise yourself. Whereas before, you didn't have a cursing spirit, now you do. Whereas before, you didn't have a lusting spirit, now you do. And you're so unstable, you can't even help yourself. You go to church lusting after people. If we could pull back the sheet, pull back the curtain on your heart, 97% of the people in church wouldn't show up. If we pull back the curtain and it showed up in front of the pulpit or behind the pulpit on everybody who walks in the door, they'll run out of the church. You see the people running around the church? No, they'll run around the church and run right out the door. Run right out the door. Be so ashamed and so embarrassed. You lying hypocrite. If we have a heart and mind that dwells on good things, particularly the Word of God and the will of God and the face of God. By the way, are you... Is God on your mind all the time? If he is not, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, you don't have a sound heart. You don't have a sound mind. You're unstable. Because God will stabilize you. By the way, if you don't pray in the morning time, you don't read the Bible in the morning time, you're not stable. You can't be stable. You cannot be stable, man. You don't have anything. Not only are you not stable, you're like a hot air balloon. You want to fly away off into hell, off into, into sin, going every which way, because you're blown around with every wind of doctrine. You know why? Why? Because you're not sound. If you don't sit down or kneel down or stand up or lay down or something and pray with your family and read the Word of God, you will not have a sound heart. You will be envious of everybody, mad at everybody, bitter at everybody, hateful towards God. blaming God for what's going on in your life? And listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. Some of you, if God allowed something in your life, like your child, for example, getting sick with this amoeba thing that's going around in the water today, and her brain is being eaten up, and you can't do anything about it, that'll set you off because you're not sound. You'll be gone away from God. You'll be bitter, and you'll be mad at God, blaming God, because you're not sound, you're not stable. And you have not been praying, and you don't know how to pray now. And you want other people to pray for you. Most people are not going to pray for you because they don't pray for them. Listen to me very carefully. Most people are not going to pray for you because they don't pray for themselves. They don't pray for their own children. They don't pray for their family. I'm talking about folk in the church. If you don't get an old sister with a hat on sitting over in the corner, about 65, 66 year old, 66 year old, ain't nobody praying for you. The millennials are not going to pray for you. Generation X not going to pray for you. And the baby boomers are trying to be like the millennials. They're not going to pray for you either. For the problem in America is not the millennials and the Generation X people. The problem in America are the baby boomers, my generation, the most unstable generation in the history of America. Oh, yes. I ain't worried about the millennials. I'm worried about the baby boomers because most of us are sick in the head. And that's why we have raised children who are sick in the head. Excuse me. These millennials, that, this and that about the millennials. Man, please. The baby boomers are the sickest group of people, sickest generation in the history of America. Most spoiled. Most overly sexed. Most wicked, most adulterous, most fornicating generation in the history of the world are the baby boomers. And we have the audacity to talk about how crazy the millennials are. No, you made them crazy, you lying devil. We always want to cast the blame on someone. And we're sitting with our old butts up in church now. Look at these millennials. They're going to just destroy the church. No, if you don't move out the way, or rather, if you get out of the way, they might save the church, some of them. Because at least they're honest. Because some of the most lying people in the history of America are the baby boomers. Some of the most lying people are baby boomers. Are baby boomers. My generation. If we have a heart and mind that dwells on good things, particularly the Word of God and the will of God, it is the equivalent of having a healthy, lively body. Even if our body is sick, keeping our heart focused on the principles of God and free from all evil passions will contribute to the comfort of our life, of our very being. On the other hand, being filled with envy, or a spirit that envies the good fortune of others. And by the way, the mark of maturity in a Christian is that they can genuinely be happy for other people who have been blessed by God in a special way. Oh yes, that's the mark of growing up in Christ. When you can be genuinely happy, and encourage others to keep on keeping on for Jesus if God has blessed them in a special way. A mature woman who is not married will be extremely happy for the woman who did get married. And understands that if she has the right attitude, God may bless her with the same thing if that's what she wants. The woman who is having, or the wife who is struggling with getting pregnant, but someone else, she's had four babies in the past 2 years almost. Just popping them out. If she can be genuinely happy instead of envy, maybe God will bless her. But even if God doesn't, that's the mark of maturity, when you can be happy for the lady who has the babies. Can you be happy, preacher, for other preachers that God is using and God has set up beautifully? If you can be genuinely happy for them and pray for them and pray that God will bless them more and use them more, that's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of being stable, of being sound. On the other hand, being filled with a spirit that envies the good fortune of others preys upon our own health, both mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. See that kind of stuff right there? That follows you to your bedroom. That will follow you to the mirror in the morning and at night. That follows you when you're by yourself. You can't shake stuff like that once you allow that evil of envy in your life, man. Well, I'm going to fly to Paris. Okay, guess what? That envy, that evil envy, envious spirit is going to meet you there in Paris. In fact, it's going to be on the plane with you. It's going to gnaw at your health while you're on the plane. I don't care if you go to England. I don't care if you go to Virgin Islands. I don't care if you go to Jamaica land. It's not going to leave you, man, like any other sin. It's going to be there with you all the way. All the way. Once you get to paradise, it's going to be there. The social media website Instagram is considering removing likes from public view on posts because of the fear that it contributes to feelings of envy. Listen to me very carefully. You will never catch up with Kim Kardashian, girl. Never. I'm going to try. Don't try, because you never will. Stop trying. You're going to die trying. Some people got it like that. Some people don't. You need to accept that. That's not what God wants you to be about. They're removing it because of feelings of inadequacy, stress, depression among users. Many people are killing themselves because they can't keep up with the Kardashians. Because every day the Kardashians, they are traveling and going here and there and doing this and that and popping out babies and becoming billionaires. And they are in the Caribbean, and then they're in Europe, and then they're in New York City, and then they're in California, and then they're in Tahiti, and you in Podunk. Po and ready to dunk. And you're mad as fire. They look great every time you see them. They look fantastic with their fake stuff on. And you're envious. And they got a husband, they got a man, they got a baby. You can't get any of it, and you're envious. Even the world is saying, this is too much. The people can't handle it. Social media users and all of us would do well to take heed to this verse and this passage and focus on the things of God, which last forever, rather than the material possessions of man, which will disappear before the face of eternity. So, beloved, if you struggle with envy, take this passage to heart and take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. And by the way, some of you people need to come off of Pinterest. You need to come off of Facebook. You need to come off of Instagram. And some of you need to stop watching television, because all of that is designed by the devil to make you envious and to help you not be content and to help you not have a sound mind and a sound heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. Thank you for allowing us to hear the truth. Now, Lord, help your Christian people to obey the truth, to repent of their foolishness. Help them to go back and give back the fake body parts. Help them to repent and go back and give back somebody's husband or somebody's wife. Help them to cease committing fornication, thinking that they are going to feel loved by that. They're not going to feel anything but shame and pain, and it's going to end up badly and embarrassingly. Help people to confess their sins in the church and help people to repent of the sin called envy and be set free. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and thou you shall be saved. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready? Do you feel a tug at your heart to go ahead on and trust Christ as Savior and pray? That's God. That's His Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's God calling you. It's God speaking to your heart. Go ahead and obey and trust Christ today and pray and ask Him to save you wherever you are in the world. I will help you with the prayer. Somebody help me. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments in so many ways. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me, and please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today and help me to repent of my sins past, and to turn from my evil life and to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Yes, it is as simple as that. Yes, contrary to what some false preachers say today, It is as easy as that. Why would God make it hard for such ignorant and evil people as we are? He made it easy for us to get saved. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. And Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now go out, as one evangelist says, and serve your King. God bless you until next time. Let's all stand.